Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is October 27th, and this is the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. And welcome back to the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. My name is Evan Marinofsky. I hope you guys are having a great, safe, and healthy week. Obviously, it's almost the end of October. It's almost November, and I will not say what we would typically be doing or what we typically might be talking about. I just won't say it. Not going to say it. But as you guys know, obviously right now, as things are currently constructed, there's not a lot of Bruins news to cover. There's not a lot of things to talk about. So I had on Connor Ryan this week of Boston Sports Journal, and we discussed who the Bruins could still potentially get out there. And there's some pretty good names. Are they Taylor Hall? Are they Alex Pietrangelo? Are they even Torrey Krug? No, they're not. But they're still helpful and could still make a difference. So we discussed that in this episode, and we also got into some goofy stuff. There's also a thing that we talk about with NHL 21 that we might try to get people involved in if we can. So obviously keep your ears perked up for that if you like to play NHL 21 like we do. Before we get into the episode, the wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on win, division, and championship futures today. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Connor Ryan. And we're here with Connor Ryan. Connor, what is up?
Nothing much, man. What's going on with you?
Not much. Trying to survive during these COVID times. We were saying before we started recording that there's a spike in Massachusetts. Here in the Bay State, there's been a little bit of a spike in cases. Not great. Not the best thing in the world. They shut down hockey recently. They shut down rinks, at least, which is unfortunate to see. You don't want that to happen. Nobody wants that to happen. The NHL sort of keeps moving the goalposts back. You can tell January 1st might not be the date.
Nope.
And what's even worse, and Steve Buckley wrote about this in The Athletic today, or Sunday or Monday, whatever it was when he wrote it. All we have right now, Boston's the Patriots. There's nobody else. You know, the Celtics, nope. Red Sox, nope. Bruins, nope. And so all we have in Boston is the Patriots. And that sucks.
It's going to be a pretty arduous couple of months for multiple reasons, but especially in terms of the sports landscape, because it's not like we're also in a great stretch here with the off season where it's going to be a lot of riveting news I think we're going to be scratching for the bottom of the barrel next couple of weeks here.
Oh yes. We are going to be as you said, the barrel, and we're going to be scraping the bottom of that thing, trying to find content. Cause it's funny. We've been kind of spoiled the past month. There's been a ton. Free agency, trades, the draft. And now it's like, oh, we're back to the off season. We're back to nothing. And typically, you know, we'd be in the beginning of the season right here, but so be it. We don't have that right now, which is unfortunate because we could use some distractions right now.
Yes.
We could really, really use some distractions right now, but there is still stuff to cover. There is Bruins things to talk about. From the perspective of what they should do. Because, again, they have a little over $6 million in cap. They still have to re-sign Jake DeBrusque. And they still have a little bit of wiggle room. There's still some things they could do. And the moves I think we'll talk about today are ones that they can absolutely make with the cap space they have. I don't think these would be issues. I don't think this would constrain them cap-wise, especially in this market. So I think it was either on this or Poke the Bear that I mentioned this specific name that I am so in for. And what's funny is I was very against this when this name first came up and this man went to a Canadian team. I'm really doing a great job of not saying who this person is.
I was about to say, yeah.
And you were also very against this person. We were all like, oh my God, this guy. Get a load of this guy, am I right? But Ilya Kovalchuk, a veteran minimum deal for 725K, maybe 800 something K. I don't think you're going over a million with Ilya. Classic Ilya, you're not going over a million with him. What do you think of this? Because I'm starting to grow on me.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be realistic at this point of what the Bruins are able to do. So, I mean, if we look at kind of the order of what they need to do this offseason, obviously number one is Jake DeBrusk. Number two is you find out what you're going to do with Zdeno Chara. And after that, it's like, all right, I think probably the number one priority is probably upgrading your blue line, which I don't really know how you're going to do that, right? Like, unless you're doing a trade or something like that. I don't think there's anyone left on the free agent market that, you know, you're going to sign and be like, all right, that's, we're replacing Torrey Krug with that guy, and then not be like, oh shit, this might, like, we'll see how this goes, right? It's not like a guy who's going to be locked in to a top four spot. So I think when you look at, you know, a guy like Kovalchuk, and, you know, you can look at the way that this forward core is kind of set up. And if you want to pitch to me that once Marchand and Pastrnak are healthy, which you have to wait a little bit for that, you know, you could pitch to me that group where you add a guy like Kasha, who should be healthy and have a full training camp, and a guy like Craig Smith, that this forward core would be much better next year if all works out. But still, if you have a chance to add a guy like Kovalchuk for a league minimum deal, which is pretty, you know, it's pretty realistic this, given how this market is. I mean, you've had multiple guys taking much less in terms of term or average annual value already. If this, you know, free agent market stretches into November and these guys still don't have anywhere to sign, like, you're going to see a lot of these guys who maybe could have made 1.5 to 2.5 million are taking, you know, really, really cheap deals just to get on a team this year. And so I think for the Bruins, if, you know, obviously the guy people are focusing on now is Mike Hoffman, which, yeah, if Mike Hoffman, you know, his contract drops down to where it's a 1 year deal and he's willing to sign for, I don't know, $3 million or something, if he gets to that low, then yeah, of course. But I still think you still have teams like Nashville that need scoring, a team like Columbus that needs scoring, who have a good amount of cap room left to play with. They could probably hand out, you know, $5 million or so. I think they're probably just waiting for the price to drop too. So I think if you're looking for the Bruins at just finding another piece or so to add to that mix up front, it doesn't really hurt you to, you know, explore a guy like Kovalchuk. And if he fits, then it's great. You're paying, you're getting maybe a guy who can get you 30 something points, maybe around then, for a cheap deal like that. And if he doesn't work out, then screw it. You're not really spending that much money on the guy. So I think it's a pretty prudent move for the Bruins throughout this offseason, is just looking at a guy like him or a few of these other guys that are willing to sign, you know, 1 year deals, just pretty much to, you know, a lot of these free agents are just looking for like a life raft at this point, right? Like, this market is so ass backwards that these guys are just trying to find a place to land to bump their value back up. And, you know, if it's a guy like Kovalchuk, who, again, as you said, I don't think we were particularly high on him, especially after his time in LA, but show that he could play well, you know, in a higher up role with Canadiens, but then even with Washington during the regular season, at least, he was in more of a third line role and looked pretty good there. So, if he's available for cheap, it doesn't really hurt you to add a guy like him into the mix, right?
It doesn't. And also, I mean, you know, Marchand and Pastrnak are probably missing the start of the season, especially Pastrnak. And if you can have more guys to potentially put with a guy like Patrice Bergeron, I mean, Kovalchuk makes sense up there for a temporary time, and then have him move around. You know, maybe he's Krejci's second line right winger. Maybe Ilya Kovalchuk's been the answer all this time. Maybe you throw him on the third line or something along that sort. So, to me, I don't see the real downside to Kovalchuk, because you wouldn't be paying him a lot. It's not like you're signing this guy to a 4 year, you know, $4 million deal, $4 million per. It would be a league minimum for no more than probably a year. So, you know, and again, as you said, they want life rafts, and you mentioned Mike Hoffman, and we both said this last week, it might get to be a point in the offseason where there's, these guys have nothing. They need a team to play for. Mm-hmm. It's time to sign somewhere, at least for a year. So, as we know, this really isn't the offseason for guys outside of the top four free agents getting long-term deals. I mean, outside of Petrangelo and Torrey Krug. There hasn't been any super long deals. I mean, I guess Jacob Markstrom a little bit.
Yeah. But even like Krug, you could make the argument, right, that I think people thought he was going to get 8, and then he gets what he got too. Like, even those guys. Yeah. I mean, Toffoli, look at him too. I think he was probably a $6 million guy, maybe in a regular market. So, I mean, it's funny. You look back at like those signings the Bruins made with Coyle and Wagner, and those guys must be like doing backflips. Like they signed it back when they did, because it just, this whole market, you know, for guys who are honestly are deserving of what the market was before, now have to take these concessions where, you know, fair or not, just kind of the way the market is right now.
It was so weird, by the way. I don't know if you saw those Torrey Krug like videos of him touring the St. Louis Blues practice facility.
It was very weird.
Holding the 47 jersey as a blue, and like it's just so weird. Like what? I just still can't process it. I'm still like, what is going on?
Yeah.
What do you mean you're on the Blues? Like, you're supposed to be a Red Wing or like a Blue Jacket or a Bruin, but a blue. I mean, it's just like, ooh.
Like,
I mean,
imagine Twilight Zone episode.
Black Mirror. Go back to like 2019. Go back to like the spring of 2019. Just not that long ago. Really not that long ago. And we're, you know, we're covering the Cup Final. We're having a great time. Not a care in the world. Health related. And imagine if someone came up and said, hey, you're going through a global pandemic and Torrey Krug is going to be a St. Louis Blue in 2020. And would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? No? Like,
I would probably more be like, the global pandemic, what the fuck are you talking about? But yeah, I think Torrey Krug and that would also like go absolutely apeshit in terms of like, and that's not even counting the fact, like, it's funny, and it's not funny, but you look back at just how much shit is, but like between that and like Kobe Bryant died in January. And,
I know.
Tom Brady left and all this, like, yes,
everything
got traded.
Went
like,
to hell.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, literally you look back at last year and like everyone obviously looks at the, him lighting up Rob Thomas, which also that video of them like reuniting on a video. I was like, this just doesn't feel right.
No, it doesn't. Like that hit was huge. And
it's like if Chara was like, after he took out Pacioretty the next year, like just somehow was on the team and be like, hey, sorry, buddy. And like, he has like a photo op with like the Montreal Police Department and like all of them are shaking hands. It's like, it's just, no, we're not doing
Sorry. I almost broke your spine.
Yeah, no, we're not doing
it. I wonder if the Bruins had won that cup. I wonder if they do all this, the same stuff. I wonder if, first of all, I think the universe would be different. I think if the Bruins won the cup, no COVID. I think, can we all agree on that?
It's a very bold proclamation, but I see your reasoning.
Yeah, exactly. It makes all the sense in the world. But I think that, you know, people, I think if the Bruins had won the cup, I don't think that hit on Robert Thomas would be so funny to St. Louis. I think it would be you know, that'd be like if, you know, Milan Lucic went to the Canucks.
After
in like 2012, and they were like joking around about how, you know, he's like, hey, Alex Burrows, taste my fingers. Yeah. How do they taste?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It wouldn't make a lot of sense. But so that is that we kind of got off track there. And talking about Krug and COVID, but it is so weird to see Krug, the way he is now, with a different team. And also Chris Wagner got married. Chris Wagner,
he got engaged.
Very engaged.
This shows you just like how the off season's going now. Is now we're just like running through like the daily lives. Like, by the way, Charlie McAvoy's dog seems like he's doing well.
Charlie McAvoy went apple picking the other day. That was quite notable. I mean, you know, which apple did he pick? I mean, is he a Granny Smith guy? Is he a Macintosh guy? I mean, it really kind of depends. If you know, if he's a Macintosh guy, I don't know if. If he's Gala,
he
I don't
top
know if the Bruins
guy.
Can give him,
I
don't think the Bruins give him a long-term deal if he's a Gala guy.
Yeah, you're actually stealing all my material for all my podcasts, so thank you, Evan.
Yes,
I was doing a deep dive on apple picking.
Yes. That was my point. I wanted to just kind of take it right from
there. You go.
But so there are some other guys the Bruins can go out and trade for. You wrote about it this week in BSJ. On defense, there's really only one that's obvious. And it's Mackenzie Weegar. It's not like it's this, like, you know, franchise-altering defenseman. Mackenzie Weegar, by the way, was the guy Nola Chari, like, killed. Yeah. Like ripped apart, like, in a fight. Ironically, they're teammates now. And, like, spitting chiclets did that joke with him. Did you ever see that where they were
I did see that.
But it asked to change his uniform number. But Mackenzie Weegar is an interesting one. He wouldn't cost a lot. He's due for an upgrade from the $1.6 million he's making now. But, I mean, would that be worth the $2 million cap hit that he might bring, or $1.8
million? I mean, Weegar you'd have to trade for, right, because he's an RFA, right? Or I think Florida wants to trade him. So unless you wanted to offer sheet him, it's the only way you'd get a guy like Weegar. So it would, I mean, you hear all the reports saying that Weegar is in trade talks because Florida doesn't want to sign him to what his new deal is, because I think he was making 1.6. So Weegar's not a guy who I think is a kind of a bargain bin kind of guy. I mean, I think probably if he was getting a raise, I'd probably say it's around the same kind of pay scale you're looking at a guy like Grizzly got, you know, maybe 3.5-4 million. But I think that's a guy who, I mean, I think you trade some assets up front for, because I think Weegar shores up your top four. I love Weegar's game. Played with Ekblad for most of that year. And listen, Florida is not a good defensive team. Having Sergei Bobrovsky as your goalie isn't going to help you out, but still, that's not a very structured roster, to say the least. And Weegar still was one of the best at kind of just negating scoring chances at 5-on-5. I mean, he's not the biggest guy, but he's still willing to drop the gloves, as you saw with him, you know, fighting at Jari. I mean, that's kind of just his style of play. So, I mean, I think that we even, you know, take out the signing guys like Kovalchuk or any other forwards. If you trade for a guy like Weegar, I think that solves your biggest problem, in that you've got a top four set, whether it's regardless of what the pairs are, right? McAvoy, Weegar, who's 26, Grzelcyk, and Kahlo, that's a pretty good top four to work with, especially if they all kind of play to their strengths. So that'd be, I think, like my number one focus if what the Bruins would be doing is, trading. I don't know if the cost be like the Brusk, or whether it's, you know, maybe Bjork and some other assets. But again, if you make a move like that and you fit both him and DeBrusk under the cap with the money you trade away to, you know, whether it's Bjork or a few other guys, maybe then you can get some more forward depth by then signing a guy like Kovalchuk for $850 or $725 or something like that. So there's a whole bunch of different ways. Like, we look at this offseason, it's so tough to map it out because not a lot's happening right now. I think everyone's just kind of, it's the scene in the office where they're all finger pointing guns at each other. It's like no one's making a move. No one wants to be. I think people are realizing now that it was really friggin' dumb to like just drop money right out the gate, because of how much like stuff, how much people were pretty much like Montreal signing Josh Anderson to that contract. They're probably like, shit. Like, dude,
what
we could have
doing?
Yeah, we could have. I mean, like, I like Josh Anderson's game, and if he is the 30 goal scorer he was when he was healthy, it's still a good deal, I guess. But still, like, look at how this market changed, or even like the Bruins signing Kevin Miller to, you know, 1.25, 2 million in total bonuses. Like, wait a couple of days, see how these guys are signing. Like, it's just the way this market is, that it's brutal. But
well, all the there were teams clamoring at, you know, the gates of Warrior for Kevin Miller. So
yeah, so I mean, I think that's just like the biggest takeaway, I think, is just we're gonna have a lot of these teams kind of grinding to a halt here and waiting for kind of the other shoe to drop, because it seems like the teams are in no hurry. They're waiting to see who bites first on some of these deals, and you know, the players really don't have much of a leverage right now, right? It's not like you've got 10 teams that are flush with cash right now. Like, and even the teams that have some money set aside, they still got to handle their own RFAs. So like Detroit's got a crap ton of money, but they also have to re-sign Mantha and a few other guys. Like, it's not like there's like teams that are just have been on the prowl waiting. And plus you've got teams like Tampa that's in cap hell who has to move contracts out. Like, this whole thing seems like it's going to be just a complete shit show as we get closer and closer. And for a team like the Bruins, who, yes, once you sign DeBrusk, it remains to be seen how much cap flexibility you're going to have, but they could be in an advantageous spot even with 2.5-3 million, just in terms of what some of these contracts might drop down to in another month or so.
It's funny, the Bjork for Weegar, Bjork and assets thing for Weegar, yeah, I think is very intriguing, because it feels like, you know, they're going to have a good amount of, and we've both said this, they're going to have a good amount of, you know, fringe top six forwards. You have Bjork,
yeah,
you have Stadika, you have Kuhlman. Now you have potentially Senishin. You have, you know, you have Kasha, you have Craig Smith, you have Nick Ritchie.
Maybe Stadika. Like, you've got a whole
did
bunch
say,
of guys.
Did I say Sanika?
Maybe you did. There's so many freaking guys that, like.
There's a ton.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to, you know, pick and choose who you want to keep. You can't use all of this. If they went out with a Kovalchuk, that's another one. So you can't have all of these guys just there when you could potentially use a guy like Bjork who has some trade value and maybe a draft pick or maybe another prospect to get a guy like Uygar. I mean, the RFA stuff's kind of complicated, but to potentially do something like that, you could do. And I think it would make sense for you to do because you have all of those top six, you know, top nine forwards. And you just, you know, it wouldn't be the first time a left shot Boston fringe top six winger went to the Florida Panthers. Frank Vetrano, one of them. Riley Smith, another.
Yeah.
But I do think that trading for Uygar wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And you have some cap space. If you can get him and DeBrusk done, and as you said, maybe sign a Kovalchuk, not the worst thing in the world. What's funny is they have all the depth up front. Usually the Bruins have a good amount of depth in back this year. Feels like it's going to be a lot up front. Two other names up front. By the way, the Mikhail Sergachev thing, I think is interesting. I have a franchise mode with the Blackhawks in NHL 21, and I almost offer sheeted Sergachev because he was on the board forever. And then it was like, you have to give up like three first round picks. And I was like, no.
Yeah. I still don't know what Tampa's getting out of that. So that's
no idea. No idea. By the way, I traded Jonathan Toews and I traded, so this was NHL 21 franchise mode. This is how wild EA is. I traded Toews to the Bruins, who were like 500 for, and somehow they didn't go over the cap. Like somehow the caps, they must have traded people away for like a mid first round pick and some like other pieces. And I had to give up some other stuff, but that was the crux of it. And then, with the Blackhawks, the next year, we were supposed to just be complete sellers. We're giving everything up.
Right.
And the next year I simulated the whole second season last night and somehow we finished President's Trophy winners.
Nice.
I don't know how that happened. And at the trade deadline, the LA Kings offered me Tuukka Rask for Eric Staal. And I was like, huh, okay. So Rask is my goalie heading into the postseason, and I'm going to get Rask a cup as a starter, but with the Blackhawks. So you guys can thank me later.
There you go.
That's going to happen. That's my hockey. With no hockey on, with sports at a very minimum, I guess franchise mode. I mean, maybe in a few weeks we're talking franchise mode.
Yeah, it might be what we have to do. Just the state of the offseason we're in right now. But
I wonder,
might be
is
a
there
a viable option?
Do you play NHL or no?
I do. I have NHL 20. So
what's funny is I feel like I don't know if there's a way to do this because this might get people too excited. But if I don't know if there's a GM connected mode or if there's a way to like because I know with Madden you can do like GM you can do franchise modes with other people. If there's a thing of that in NHL, we should do a thing with listeners and do like franchise modes and get them all together. And we could have a bunch of different ones in a league. And I think that would actually be kind of fun, a fun way to pass the time. So maybe that's something we look into. We open up in the future.
Yeah.
We think about it, and I would do it in a second. I play a ton of Xbox. But that's just me. So there's other people out there as well. There's Anthony Duclair. There's Corey Perry. Duclair's a little tough. Not great in his own zone. But he does have a lot of offensive upside, and I love watching him play.
Yeah.
I feel like, into his game.
I feel like he's going to be a kind of like a mini kind of Taylor Hall, where I think he clearly did not read this market correctly, which is what happens when you represent yourself in this, in your negotiations, that he should have just taken a deal with Ottawa. But I feel like now he's going to be a guy that, you know, listen, the guy had a breakout year and a half, honestly, with Ottawa. He was good after he went there. In February of 2019, I feel like he's going to be a guy that is going to try to recoup his value and go to a shitty team that's going to give him a bunch of minutes. Because I don't know if Duclair is he's not going to be, you know, your top line forward for the entire season, or even if he's with Krejci or one of those guys, you don't really kind of know where he fits in. So I feel like he's going to go to a team where he can get, you know, 16, 17, 18 minutes a night and try to get another 20, 25 goal season and try again next year. Because it seems like he seriously misread that market, especially for a guy who had a great breakout year, which is awesome to see, but doesn't really have a proven track record yet that you want to fork over a lot of money, especially in the way the kind of revenues are kind of hit right now.
You know what's funny? Now Ottawa has some talent. Like Ottawa way more talent than they had before, and they could put it around him. And he kind of left at the worst time because I don't know. I mean, the market stinks and Ottawa isn't going to be good, but you have Dadonov now.
There's minutes there, so.
There's minutes and there's opportunity for power play time and all that stuff. So, I don't think the Bruins actually could go for him. Corey Perry's an interesting one. I don't know. I mean,
you kind of have a guy in Richie that if you're going to try him out, like the Bruins have whiffed many times now on just getting this like bigger bodied middle six guy. And I don't know how Corey Perry, moves the needle for you. And it, granted, like he raised his stock a little bit because he really wasn't that good during the regular season. Then he played pretty well during the playoffs, but still you've already the Bruins are already in a hole with the Heinen trade. And like, you've got to, at this point, I think you're probably sticking with Richie for now to see what you have before you move on. So I don't think it makes much sense to get a guy like him, but I think Perry's still going to be a guy that, whether it's, Tampa or one of these other teams or just any of those contender teams, he's probably going to go to one of those guys on a very, very cheap deal.
Yeah, that's what I see Perry doing as well. I don't see him. I mean, you're right. The Bruins are terrible at getting that big middle six guy. So I don't really know what that value would sort of bring.
Yeah.
And they have Nick Ritchie, who's going to solve all their offensive problems.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, and it's the thing is, like, I know you were looking at guys who even are worth taking a flyer on for cheap. Like, when I was writing the article about, potential targets, one guy that stuck out to me was Josh Levo over in Vancouver, who solid, middle six guy. Actually had good 5-on-5 numbers for Vancouver last year, but then gets hurt back in December of 2019. I think he broke his kneecap off of a hit from Nick Holden. So he missed the whole rest of the season, but was willing to sign a 1-year deal for really cheap. I was like, that's who the Bruins should look at. If it's a guy who has good 5-on-5 numbers, this and frisk, because he's coming back from an injury like that, but seems like he's healthy now, that's a guy you take a flyer on. And then 20 minutes before I published the article, he signed with Calgary. So I had to take him off the board. But
what is it with these guys in the Northwest who just rotate teams?
I don't know. Maybe they don't like to fly very fast. I have no idea. But Calgary seems like they're just taking everyone. So, which that seems so perplexing because Calgary honestly should just blow it up. I don't see that core. They're like the Atlanta Hawks in the late 2000s where they were good, but they were never going to go far. So it's you're just delaying the inevitable right now. You got guys who are now 29 to 32. You're not going that far with the way the core is.
Boring.
Yeah. They're boring. Yeah. So, but that's a guy who the Bruins look at as a guy who you can take a flyer on. If he works out and he's a 30-point guy, then it's great. And you pay him, I think he signed for Calgary for, $850. It's nothing. God. But, those are the guys.
The Flames owe Lucic $5.25 million through 2023. Oh.
Nice.
Oh, my God. I'm just looking at the – Joakim Nordstrom. That's why we got to keep an eye on the Flames, because Joakim Nordstrom's on the Flames. I mean, what, are we not going to watch the Flames? They are barren. Oh.
Yeah. No, it's not good. Well, that's really just the state of the market too, and how it's grinded to a halt. Is that people are like, well, the Bruins just gotta, people are saying the get out of jail free card is, just trade John Moore for a team Winnipeg or Calgary, which clearly need defensive help, right? But the way this market is, everyone's so scared shitless of taking on cap, they're not doing anything. People are hammering the Bruins, and you can knock them for not making kind of the splashy moves, but also it takes two to tango, and I'm not trying to make excuses, but you spend a lot of effort into trying to get out Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and then you're dealing with a team in Arizona who just had ridiculous demands there that weren't budging,
and things keep getting worse in Arizona.
Yeah, they're a great franchise there in Arizona, friggin' embarrassing. But then you can't hit on that, and then at that point you're like, all right, you're not getting fair market value for any of these guys. You can't, if it was a normal year, you'd think you'd be able to dump off John Moore's contract to a team like Winnipeg or Calgary for nothing. Now it has to be this whole labor intensive thing just to get this money moved. So it's shit luck for the Bruins, right? I mean, we look back at last year and how it ended, and obviously it didn't end as anyone expected it to based on how good they were before the pandemic hit. But then you look at this offseason, like, all right, well, they cleared off most of Backus's money. They could still probably add another guy or two and make another run at it. And it's like, you can't do that much if you can't unload any cap at all. That's kind of just the way the market is right now.
Yeah, and I, Greg, I don't want to become a Calgary Flames podcast. I have no real desire to, but you know, they just signed Tanev to a 4-year, $18 million deal on D. I mean, like, really? Yeah. And they only have like $1 million in cap space. So these teams, exactly, they could maybe take a John Moore and use a John Moore.
Not yeah, no, I mean,
take him for like they could use him as a maybe potential top four defenseman. And these teams really can't handle them at all. Before you go, Connor, is there anything you would like to plug over at BSJ?
Yeah, the headlines aren't really you know, too hectic right now in terms of the Bruins offseason, but we're still going to have stuff pretty much every day looking at you know, Jake DeBrusk contract and maybe some comparables you can get for him. We'll be looking at Brennan Kahlo's role in this team now, because I think he's got a kind of a fascinating kind of spot now where he's not going to get nearly as much ozone time as he's had with Krug. So maybe there's another layer to his game that they can exploit as a defensive shutdown guy. So we'll be looking at a couple of different players that are currently on the team that could have kind of breakout years this upcoming season. So they'll all be over at BSJ. So subscribe at bostonsportsjournal.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at ConorRyan_93.
Do all that. Brennan Kahlo, new enforcer for the Boston Bruins. You heard it at Boston Sports Journal first.
There you go.
Sealinas Media, though. I'm Evan Marinofsky. You Bruins Beat listeners, have a great rest of your week.